Blessing. I watched that movie yesterday morning, and man, it touched me. The power of forgiveness in our lives is so amazing. His love is amazing. I just want to praise Him this morning. I love Him.
Amen. Maybe somebody else has got a little praise built up in them today. That's all right. You let it come out if it's in there. Share it with somebody. They'll need to hear it, and you'll need to get it off your chest.
Let me say it's good to be back in the Lord's house today. If you've got a copy of God's Word, we're going to be primarily in the book of Luke today, Luke chapter number 23. I've got many things to pray about. Let's continue praying for Sister Billy Minton and her family. Don't know how much longer, but Sister Billy's just about ready to meet her Savior. Don't know when it'll be, but they said it could be minutes or it could be hours or it could even be days or maybe a couple of weeks, but she's a witty woman. She's still got all her faculties in place. And I told her last night, and Miss Cindy and I were getting ready to leave, and Miss Billy said something about me preaching today. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm going to preach. And I said, do you want me to preach? And she said, yeah. I said, or do you want me to just go up there and tell them some good little story? And she said, just tell them some story. She said, most of them will believe it anyway. So that's Billy's wit. It's still there, and that's just Miss Billy. But I'm not going to tell you some little story except that it be a little story about a man named Jesus. And it's a true story. It's not fiction. It's right out of the Word of God, and it's real, my friends. If you've been to Calvary, and if you know what I'm talking about, let me just say this in opening. I'm going to get my cart in front of my horse. Let's take care of business first. Where's my deacons at? I saw Brother Jody and Brother Scott. Over here is Brother Greg. Greg, I'm sorry to take you on. You weren't in that little impromptu deacons meeting. And Brother Danny, I think, and Brother Clayton are with the Minton family this morning. But church, it's been brought to our attention that this week alone, we're going to send some non-perishable goods and stuff down to the eastern part of our state to try to help them. And my heart's desire is that we help them. The Bible says, if you see your brother who hath a need and shut up your bowels of compassion, the next question is this: where lies the love of God in you? And it's a historical flood. They call the flood a biblical proportion, but it ain't that bad. There's one in the Bible, and this was not one of those. It won't be a flood next time. It'll be by fire. But anyway, I would like to support the mission team in that effort. And my heart's desire is $5,000. You said if that's too, you say that's too much. I don't know if it's too much or too little. But today's offering, I had a piece of paper here just handed to me by Brother John. We took up over $9,000 today. So anyway, it's my heart to present to you an amount of $5,000 to help those. And it'll be spent locally. It's not going down there. It'll be spent here in Wilkes County. And then we need people that's willing to come up and shrink wrap pallets of stuff. Bottled water, blankets, whatever's purchased. We need some people to shrink wrap that and put it on the back of a Rescue America truck in this parking lot during this week. So you be praying for that. And Miss Jean and Brother Ken and Brother Grant and all those that's involved in that can give you more details on that. If you have social media, share our church's event page. We've got one on there saying what we're doing. But I need a vote today. If you're willing to give $5,000 to that effort, that's my suggestion, and that's my suggestion alone. But you're a church, you can vote it up or you can vote it down. If you're in favor of it, raise your hand up. If you're opposed to that, you can vote likewise. That would be the majority of you. If you didn't vote, that's okay too. But we'll get Brother Keith handy. He's here somewhere. We'll get with the mission team and allocate those funds to that. Listen, folks, it might be us next time. It could be somebody in this church next time. And this does not negate the local mission. It does not. If you've got something you got going on, we've helped people here locally and we'll help them again. Anyway, I didn't want to get my cart in front of my horse. We're getting right on into the Word of God. Thank you, church, for what you just did for that effort. And you get with those that's going to be helping that that mission event. And I know they need laborers. They need some people to help. So anyway, I've got a copy of a redback hymnal. If you've got one of those, get it out, because I want you to turn. I'm not going to sing. We're just going to read. I want you to turn to page 139 for those that don't have a copy of the hymnal. You just kind of listen along with me as I try to read this thing responsibly, because this song says a lot. We sang it so much at other churches that I've been in that we got to singing it out of redundancy. Does that make sense? It become monotonous. It become redundant. We did it every time. And when we did it every other week, it almost lost its appeal. But the words in this song still play true today. And you could take the words of this song and back them up with Scripture. And that 139 division of your hymnal, and we'll get to the book of, we'll get to God's Word here in just a minute. I just got a text from Clayton. It was Brother Danny. Brother Danny said, suggest to him $5,000. So that come from Brother Danny. So thank y'all for that. But anyway, I normally don't even get my phone out, but I felt it vibrated against my hip and I was expecting a call or text from Danny or Clayton. In that song, it says, "And if this is not you, then thank God that it wasn't you. If this first stanza is not written about you, then bless God that you're like my wife, got saved at a young, tender age, and you didn't have to go through stuff. But Robbie, some of us didn't get saved as young as the other kids did, and they had to go through some things. But the songwriter here, his name was William Newell, in concert with a guy by the name of Daniel Towner. He said, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that it was for me he died on Calvary. And then it says that mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And then it said, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law that I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've give to Jesus everything, and now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. And then it concludes with this final stanza in this great hymn. It says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, that mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And again it said, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There, meaning Calvary, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. So let's responsibly read the Scriptures now in the book of Luke, chapter number 23. And we will read but one verse today. You know the story. If you live in Wilkes County, North Carolina, and you're in the seats of Calvary Baptist Church, you've heard the story of Jesus. You've heard of the place of the skull. Not because it was a crucifying hill, but because the hill itself was shaped in the form of a skull. Golgotha's brow, if you will. There's many different words and usages of the place, but it's only used one time as the word Calvary. Your King James Bible only has that word one time. But let me tell you real quickly. I can tell my wife, I could be like Tommy Mathis. Y'all remember Brother Tommy Mathis? If you remember him, say amen. Brother Tommy was a dear saint of God. He was my pastor for a while. And Brother Kenny, I know Brother Tommy's preached revivals for you because I've been to your church when he did. But Brother Tommy Mathis, in his wit and who he was, he said that he told Miss Peggy above 50 years ago that he loved her. And he said, I don't see the need in telling her every 5 seconds. And some of you tell each other every 5 seconds. And some of you, you got to be kissing on Facebook and you got to be doing this. And I'm not in favor of all that. I'm not in favor of a great public display of affection. You hold your wife's hand when you're going in Walmart and don't shut the car door on her leg when you're trying to get her in. But other than that, I just keep your love to yourselves and love each other openly, but honestly before God. But Brother Tommy said, I told her 50 years ago that I love her, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. Now, to me, that was hilarious. Now, I could go to Miss Cindy, Brother James, and tell her I love her, and I could go to her every 10 minutes and say, Cindy, I love you. And then get real downright irritated at her and cantankerous toward her. And I do that I'm sorry, but I do that. I say things that I shouldn't. She does the same thing to me, and you do it to Regina, and Regina does it to you. You've had a hard week. I've had a hard week. We come in, and something's not quite right. One of those Yorkies has had a problem. It eats something it shouldn't have. And the next thing you know, you've done walked through it, and that hasn't happened. I'm just making that up. But anyway, something's happened, and now you're just not real happy. And what you do, Brother Gary, you get snarky. You get really downright snide in your comments towards somebody that you really do love. But how many times would I have to use the word Calvary to make it something of great, 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 extravagant importance? Brother Lester, how many times would I have to use that word in the King James Bible for it to have some kind of profound, significant time of events on whole humanity? It only needs to be in there but once. Now, I'm not suggesting that you just tell your wife one time that you love her and let that be done. What I'm suggesting is you do what the Bible did. It used Calvary but one time. Gerald, it's in there but once. Oh, but that one time, the love that was shown there reverberates. It's on every page in your King James Bible. Brother John, it permeates humanity. It's still there. For God so loved the world. And for me to only see Calvary in the Bible but one time, that one time is enough for me. So we're in that 23rd chapter. I would stand and ask you to reverence the reading of God's Word if you are able. For these dear ladies in the middle in your little wheelchairs, bless God, you can respond right where you're at and be just as reverent in your heart. I promise you that for both of y'all. But we'll be in that 33rd verse because that's where you're going to find the usage of that word, Calvary. It is 23 and 33 in the book of Luke. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. The Bible does say these words, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Brother Tim, if you would, ask God to bless us, my friend. Hey, man, I started to work up a little acrostic and use that as the message off of the word Calvary. As many of you have done, some have said that grace is God's remedy at Christ's expense or God's riches at Christ's expense. And whenever I started to work up that acrostic, all I could come up with this was a Christ atoning love and victory always redeeming you. You say, what's that all about? We're going to look into here. And I want you to see what Calvary really was. Calvary was the place, after they had gone up the place called the Via Dolorosa, or the way, the pavement, if you will. And after he had been crucified, after he had been scourged, and after he had been walked around town, paraded from Herod to Pilate and back and forth, and after they had just made a total mockery of our dear Savior, brother, they led him to this place. And as they were going there, and the Bible said he bearing his cross was going that way. The Bible said that he collapsed under the weight of that. And as he collapsed under the weight of that, the Bible said they compelled one, a man of Cyrene, that would bear his cross after him. But ultimately, Brother John, they got him to that hill. They marched him right up to the place called Golgotha, or the place called Calvary. And whenever they got him there, there was only one reason that he was there. And he had told Pilate these words. He said that it was to this end that what? Then I was born. In other words, this man, Brother Archie, was born to die. He was not just born to die. He was born as no other man was ever born. He was born as he was conceived of a virgin. No virgin has ever conceived in the humanity of time. Never has that happened. You say, well, in the latter day, they're taking this and artificial insemination, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about through the natural process and order of man. There's never been a woman that's conceived a child except that there was a man there. Oh, but bless God, the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the Virgin Mary, and never had a woman ever done that before. So it was an immaculate conception. And bless God, nobody was ever born like him, and nobody, bless God, ever lived like he did. I don't care who you are, how good you think you are, or how good you really are. You did not live as my Savior did. Brother, he lived a sin-free life. I mean, as you were eating boogers as a baby, my Savior didn't even do that. I don't even know if he soiled his diaper, brother. Brother Gary. He was perfect in every whit. This man committed no sin. He didn't do any vile. There was no vile in his body. He didn't think an errant thought. Can you imagine that? Bless God, we think things that we shouldn't think. We do things we shouldn't do. We go places we shouldn't go. And bless God, he didn't do any of that. There's not even a wrong thought went through his mind. He was perfect in every way. The Bible said that he was in all points tempted such as we are. So he had every opportunity to sin, but temptation is not sin. I bless God, it's when that sin is conceived in your heart that brings forth lust and lust. And you know that story. But bless God, nobody ever lived like he did, Brother Gary. Never. Nobody ever died like he did. Those two malefactors that we're talking about right there, the Bible said that one of them railed on him. They both railed on him in the passage, but one of them said, we're getting our just reward. What does that mean? Hey, we're getting what's coming to us. But this man's done nothing amiss. This man's not deserved. We're getting what we deserve. I mean, we've got a death sentence applied to us. And bless God, every one of us had that same death sentence upon us. But nobody ever died like he did. The innocent dying for the guilty. It's usually the guilty that are dying. But bless God, in this occasion, Brother Vroom, it's the innocent dying for the guilty. It is Christ atoning love. It is Christ dying. It is that scripture that I don't care where you go in the Bible, read in the book of Genesis 3:15-19, or whether you're over there at the Psalm of the Cross, which is the 22nd Psalm. I don't care where you're at, if you're in the book of Isaiah where it said that he would be beaten and the chastisement of the world would be upon him. I don't care where you're at. This is the culmination of events that took place of all that scripture that was foretold. Every bit of it, Brother Kenny, it pointed to that one place, Calvary. So nobody ever died like he did. Nobody ever got up like he did either, but that's a whole other message in itself. We're going to go back to Calvary. Calvary was a place of giving. You said, yeah, you send those plates around every time we come here. Calvary is a place of giving. I'm not talking about that. You're supposed to give. But Brother John, I just quoted that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where was that to take place? Where was that supposed to take place? You said, well, I thought it took place in Bethlehem, as it was prophesied by the little prophet Micah, that it would be in Bethlehem Ephratah that he would come. Is that in Malachi or Micah? I got them two mixed up. I believe it might be Malachi, but anyway, it's foreordained that it would be Bethlehem. I thought you was talking about that. That's where God so loved the world that he gave, and we received him in a manger. We received him in a little cradle, a feeding trough for animals. Listen, that's just part of the story. That's just part of the story. Yeah, God did give us him there. But Brother Archie, greater than that, greater than a baby in a manger, my brother, we could fast forward that thing to some dark day right before you get into this place called Christmas. You better think that Christmas, brother, is not the atoning of your sin. I bless God, you better fast forward that thing over to about Easter and look at that dark day whenever humanity was atoned for their sins. Whenever he cried out from the cross, it is finished. I bless God, that was just the beginning for Dane Thomas. When he said it is finished, that's just the beginning for me. Me, Brother Casey. How about best God? That wasn't the end of it, because the third day got up. But Calvary was a giving place. Calvary was also a place acquainted with grief, as the Bible said that he was acquainted with grief. You say, well, I don't know who all was grieving. They were probably there laughing and mocking. The Bible says sitting down, they watched him there. But there were those, the centurion, that said, surely, truly, of a certainty, this was the Son of God. There were other people there. Do you not think that Miss Mary, the virgin that watched her son die, don't you think that her heart was grief-stricken? Do you not think that as John, his half-brother, because they didn't have the same daddy, bless God, Jesus' daddy was on high, John's was on earth, probably already dead at that time, or you'd have seen him in the picture. But Brother Bing, can you imagine whenever he looked off the cross and said, woman, behold thy son, who's he talking to? He's talking to mama. Don't you think there was some grief there? Don't you think that there's grief in the hearts of humanity today? If only they could see him for who he is, Brother John, they would have to be grieving at heart because of this. They put him there. We put him there. My God, it was our sin that hung him there. It's been said that the only part of our own salvation experience is that we committed the sin that made it necessary for it to ever be there to start with. We're sinners by nature. We are. But man, it was a place of grieving. I can see Mary looking up there and just looking at him. Brother John, I think that would be the unnatural order of man. I know some of you in here, Miss Shirley, I know you come right to my mind, dear, and how that you have lost your husband and those beautiful kids. That's an unnatural order when you have to bury a child. See, the maturation process has it that I lose my mother, and I just did back in March. And then I will lose my daddy. And then as the maturation process goes, Brother Ben, my daughters will eventually lose their mom and their daddy. And then the order goes on. But can you imagine Brother Gary sitting there, Miss Mary looking up there, knowing what a good kid she had, knowing that for 33 and a half years, Brother Kenny, bless God, he lived his life to the full. Brother John, he was touching widows and raising her sons, and he was taking lepers, and he was healing blinded eyes, and he was doing all manners of good deed. I mean, he was feeding the multitude. Anything he did, Brother Kenny, it was good, and it was over the top good. I mean, he was taking little pieces of bread and feeding massive amounts of people. He was touching eyes that could never see and making them to see again. He would take the wine, the water, and turn it into wine. Brother, there's the works that he was doing was so just, you can't even imagine the works. John said, supposing that the books were written, the world couldn't even contain them. Brother, that's the works he was doing. And Mary knows that child. She knows him intimately as a young man. She was there looking for him in the temple whenever they found him teaching the knowledgeable people. And she's there between that 12 age and the age of 30 when he began his earthly ministry. She's watched him work alongside of his earthly daddy, if you will. It's his stepdaddy, if you will. But he's seen the carpenter's son. She's seen Jesus labor with his own hands. She's watched that. She's seen him do all these miracles. And right there he hangs. Hanging there. As one of the common criminals of the day, the Bible says malefactors. These were the common discourageable. These are the ones that you wouldn't want to eat out with. These are the ones that you wouldn't want moving in down the street. These were the incorrigible prisoners of the day. And brother, you just wouldn't want to be around them. But there he is. Jesus. Hanging right in the mixed multitude, right in the middle of them. But Brother Archie, can't you get excited once in a while and be happy? Bless God that God had a man on the middle cross, and bless God that that man on the middle cross made the difference for every single one of us today. It was a great place. It was a place of grieving. It was a place of giving. It was acquainted with grief. Bless God, it was a heavenly place even, Brother Ben. It was heavenly because this, heaven, bless God, was opened up that Brother Blaine could come and walk boldly before the throne room of grace. That Robbie Hall, somebody was raised over in a little cornfield and tobacco patch on the other end of the county. Bless God, we had nothing really to offer. But bless God, he loved us and gave himself for us. Bless God, he opened us a door that we could come right in. That was a heavenly place. Calvary was a heavenly place, my friend. It was a heavenly place. Exchanges took place between earth and heavenward on that day. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He's saying what? He's saying what the psalm of the cross said in that 22nd psalm. He's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You remember the other times of the transfiguration, Brother John? You remember those other times? This is my son, my beloved son. Hear ye him. Bless God, heaven was rejoicing on that day. It was a heavenly place because the very door to that place was being presented to humanity. The very door, the very access portal within that place was hanging on a nail. But even as it was a heavenly place, that was a hellish place. Tim, it was hellish in this. That man deserved not to be there. He didn't deserve that, Brother Greg. But he had to go there. Why? Because we were sinful. He was the substitutionary death. He was my sacrificial lamb. And lambs had to be slain. Blood had to be shed. And bless God, there he was, hanging between heaven and earth in a heavenly place, in a hellish place also, brother. Why? Because he had to go and defeat hell. He had to defeat the devil. He had to defeat that sin. And he had to get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. What's the last enemy that'll be defeated? Speak up. Death. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Bless God, they were swallowed up on that hill on that day. Bless God, when he gets up out of that grave, bless God, on the third day. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for... Listen, y'all come in here hoping to get some feel-good story about how that I preach about abortion and killing babies and homosexuality and all this and give you some 12-step maturation process to higher living or feeling better. Listen, bless God, you get saved by God's grace. You get a little glimpse of Calvary. You'll get all that. You will have better living. You will have a better marriage. We'll have a better marriage. We'll be more tender to each other. We'll be loving our kids more. Everything comes into focus a little more clearly, brother, whenever you put on the eyeglasses of grace and then you see heaven for what it is and you see grace. Bless God, that is the all-atoning grace. You can't see it with your natural eye, but I, bless God, put on the eye salve of grace and bless God, you can see it. And Calvary makes a difference, Brother Archie. Calvary makes a difference. Maybe you just haven't tried on the eyeglasses of grace. See, right now we see, the Bible said we see through a glass darkly. It doesn't make sense. Brother, Calvary doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. Is there not another way to save the world? There's a Christmas song somebody come out with and say, what a strange way to save the world. And it was. But that was God's way. That was God's plan. And it wasn't something that God concocted or come up with in a last minute ditch to defeat Satan. No, the Bible said he was the lamb as had been slain before the foundation of the very world. Always has been. I thought I was going to be reading some more scripture, but we got that one verse anyway. Bible says, back up and get number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to see this. In that song that Brother Scott got, page number 8 in our hymnal. It says, I've never been to Calvary, but by the witness of his word. I want you to see three or four. You said, you're already there. Yeah, we're going real quick. Calvary was our debt payment. That's where our debt was paid. You've heard it said, it's probably cliche to say, but we had a debt that we could not pay, and he paid a debt that he did not owe. Is that not ultimate truth? How could you not pay it? It's not within you. Why didn't they get Moses to pay it? Moses was a murderer. You remember that? They not kill an Egyptian. Maybe we could get some of these other great men of God, some of them patriarchs. How about King David? Choose him. He was a great man. It'll be the throne of David that the Lord rules and reigns from when he comes back. How about just getting him? You tell me you want him as your Savior? You want an adulterer? You want somebody that was conniving? That was a liar? And ultimately a murderer himself, because he said you put Uriah in the forefront of the battle. When you get him there, withdraw. You want that as your Savior? Well, how about some of these other men of God? I don't care who you pick. You're going to find flawed vessels and flawed characters, except that you look at Jesus. He paid the debt that he did not owe. We couldn't pay that, my friends. He died the death that he did not deserve. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, verse number 23, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of what? Sin. This man committed no sin. Then why did he die? Because we sinned. Can you imagine that, Brother Robbie? You're standing before that great big judgment bar of God, and he wraps that gavel, said, court is in session. We have before us Preston Shoemate. How do you plead? And you say, well, I tithed and I did this and I did that and I've helped little ladies cross the street and I showed up and I did that. And he's going to say, you're guilty. Now comes the sentencing phase. Everybody that was ever convicted in a courtroom had then something after that, the penalty phase is this. That's when they're getting ready to assign you some type of a value to your sin, to your crime, whatever it is you committed. If it was an infraction of minor offense, you might get probation, 6 months or probation, even suspend that. If don't mess up again, it'll never come back to get you. But if you do again, it's going to bite you. But how about if it was so bad, Robbie, that death was its penalty? Right when that sentencing phase comes, you hear the gavel rap. Enter the sidebar of grace. Here comes a man by the name of Jesus. Said, Father, you let old Kenny go because I paid his sin debt in Calvary's flow. You see what happened is he died your death. You were to be crucified. You were to die for your sins. But bless God, he was dying in your stead. He took your place on Calvary's cross. And as a result of that, when that gavel hit the second time, he said, you're free. Preston, you're free. Pardoned. Y'all know what a pardon is? A pardon as if it never happened, Brother Greg. It's not just that you get to go, but you've got some restrictions on you. You've got to watch this. You can't own a firearm and you can't vote and you can't do this. No, bless God. Brother Greg Adams, you get out of here, bless God. You're free and you're free indeed. Go and sin no more. Wow. And to think that I told you at 10:30 last night, Brother Kenny, I said, I'm tired, just got home from the hospital, and I don't have a message. I just don't. Brother Kenny, when I talked to him this morning, he said, Preacher, I don't have a message. He said, I've always got something on my heart, but I believe you're supposed to preach. Brother Kenny, I believe I was supposed to preach. I believe I was supposed to preach this morning because there's a little preach in me. Calvary is not only a place where debts were paid and that death was defeated. Bless God, you ought to pull up and shout right here. It's where the devil that has tried his best to destroy what God hath raised up was also defeated. You say, wait a minute, he's not defeated. He's defeated.
Yes, thank God.
The Bible said in the book of the Revelation that he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Bless God, Brother John, he's doing what he's doing now because he is a defeated foe. He's no adversary for the Lord. That's why you need to make the Lord your advocate. The Bible said to be vigilant, to be sober-minded, to be watchful because your adversary, the devil, is seeking, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But bless God, he's a defeated foe. And it was defeated right there on that place called Calvary. You say, I thought he was defeated when he got out of the grave. That's just, he had to go get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. There's a song somebody wrote, he was already out of the grave. I like that song. They might have put his body in there, but he was already out of the grave. Bless God, he ascended to the depths of the earth. He got what was his. He took back, brother. He repossessed. He foreclosed on the title deed of the earth, brother. He got back what was his. He holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. They're his. Salvation was presented to all humanity. Our sins were punished, and the saints were pardoned. Brother Scott, come up here and get us a song today. I ask you this question this morning in our close. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to Calvary? You said, well, I'm sitting in it. If this is the only Calvary you ever visit, coming back to where we live now, if this is the only Calvary you ever know, then my friends, hell is going to be your home. That's just sad, but that's reality. If this is the only Calvary that you are acquainted with, Brother Jody, aren't you glad for that? Think about your life on the other side of Calvary. Not, don't live there. I just said, think back. It does you good once in a while to reflect back and think about what God's delivered you from. I'm not saying live there, dwell there, just but once in a while you get a little glimpse. That's what he did. That's why he went to the cross, to atone for what you had done before that day of grace. What a day. Oh, what a day. The day of our atonement should go down in anybody's history book. Miss, that ought to go down as your day. That ought to be one of the highlights. I know you write. You like to write stuff, and Macy likes to write stuff. They've got these little journals, and it's not a diary. They just like to write things. Cindy's got a thing, a prayer request about that thick, and there's a good chance your name's in that book. But if we had a diary, which is our life, and you know he's got it recorded, brother. that day at Calvary that Miss Sam met the Savior, that should be the pinnacle. I mean, it's greater than meeting him and marrying him. The birth of Nicole has to be pretty close on your good days. Is that not a special day? But honey, it pales in comparison to the day that you got born. Not the first time, but the second. As we stand all over God's house today, if you've never been to Calvary by the witness of His Word, I invite you today to come to this simple place called Calvary. Like I said, it's only used but one time in your King James Bible. But the profoundness of that one time's usage, I'd rather Cindy Hall have told me 30, how many years? One? Been together, I met her back in, I've known her since she was 13, for crying out loud. But I would rather for her to have told me one time, and one time only, all those many years ago that she loved me, and then spend a lifetime showing me. I promise you that. I'd rather her tell me once and spend the rest of her life just showing me how much she loves me than to tell me every 10 minutes and never show me that love. But that's what God did when He showed us Calvary. He only gave it to us but one time. John's just there one time. But roll down through the ages, brother. That love, undying, as we preached on the mountain, unbroken, undying, unchanging, never wavering. That's the love that He showed us. The Bible says, I'll get this and then we're going to close, in Romans chapter number 5. Many of you already know where I'm going. And I'll go down to about verse number 8. The Bible said that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How about that? What have we got, Brother Scott? Number 379, you're standing and singing. If you need to come, please do. Don't leave here not having been to Calvary. Don't leave here not having been to the place that will eternally change your life. Preacher, when did you get saved? You didn't hesitate in that. Why did you rattle that off so quick? Because you were there. Where'd it happen? Right there. You ever got over it? You ever got over it? I was talking to Preacher Chris the other day. Brother Chris always wants to take me back to the basement. You said to the basement. Yeah, he got to take me back to the basement, the place of Home Baptist Church over there, just out past the elementary school at Miller's Creek, go back out through there in a little church on the left. He said, I have to go back in my mind to the basement. What's he doing over there? Best God, that's where he got saved at. It'd do you good once in a while to go back to the place where you got saved and just talk to your Lord and Savior and Father about the things that's going on around you. Boy, it'd do you good. Most people don't get to worship in the church where they got saved. Some do, but bless God, you can go right there anytime. Whenever I announced my call to preach, we're going to sing in a minute. When I announced my call to preach, I told my wife, I said, there are two places I want to preach. And you know, God let me preach in both of them. And one of them was in the church at Center Baptist where I got saved. I didn't know if that happened. You remember the church split and they went up the road and built one? I wanted to preach in both of them. I got family that left and family that stayed. They got a new pastor one day and he called me up and said, I'll get you to run a revival over here. Praise God. That's a prayer answered for me. As we sing today, if you need to come, how about it, anybody, anywhere?